A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
We spent a lot of time on Euroboxes. Today, we're giving the other family its due. Here's what Daniel sent us. He says we've covered Euroboxes a lot on this show, and it's time to give the other family its own episode, the Attached Lid Container, the ALC, also sold as an attached top container, a distribution tote, a hinged lid crate, a crocodile lid box, and in the US, the Hudson box. Three things he wants covered. First, what actually makes an ALC a different animal from a Eurobox rather than a Eurobox with a lid glued on? Sloping tapered walls versus straight walls. An integral hinged lid included in the price versus a lid you buy separately. Its own height grid. And the consequence that matters most, an empty ALC nests down into itself by about 3/4, where a straight-walled Eurobox nests not at all. They share the 600x400x300x300 footprints, so they palletize identically, but they aren't the same product. Second, the money. He built a calculator for exactly this, and the honest answer is more interesting than a clean win. Compared on price per usable liter, the Eurobox generally buys volume about 10% more cheaply. But that comparison quietly cheats in two directions, and he wants us to unpick both. Comparing on external volume flatters the tapered ALC, which is why usable capacity is the only fair denominator, and the ALC's price already includes the lid, which the Eurobox's doesn't. Then the return leg figure that flips it, 20 ALCs collapse to roughly not 0.43 cubic meters empty, against about 4.9 for the equivalent Eurobox stack. That's a 10 times difference in what you're paying to store nothing. Third, when do you actually reach for each? The ALC's traditional home is distribution. Sealed, tamper-evident, going out full and coming back empty and flat. The Eurobox's is static storage. Shelved, stacked, open constantly, contents visible, lid optional. But something's shifting. ALCs are turning up everywhere in house moves now as rental crates replacing cardboard, and he thinks that's excellent. A genuinely better answer than a disposable box that gets bought, taped, cut open, and binned. So where does each one belong in a home? And has the move crate use case actually earned the ALC a place it didn't have before?
There's a lot in there. Let's start with the thing that's been bugging me. Is an ALC just a Eurobox with a lid glued on, or is it a fundamentally different animal?
That's exactly the right opening question, because if you glance at them side by side on a pallet, same footprint, both plastic, both stackable, you'd think, sure, one just happens to have a hinged top.
And that's wrong. The ALC is its own product family, and the root difference is the walls. Eurobox walls are straight, vertical, a rigid column from base to rim. ALC walls slope inward, they taper toward the base. That taper isn't cosmetic. It's the single design decision that drives every downstream difference in how these things nest, stack, and behave in a logistics chain.
So the taper is the thing, not the lid.
The taper is the thing. The integral lid is the second defining feature, but the taper is what makes the lid possible as a design choice rather than an afterthought. A straight-walled box with a hinged lid attached. You could make one, but it wouldn't nest, and the lid would be a structural liability. The ALC's taper means the lid can hinge from the rim and still clear the walls of the box nested below it.
And the nesting is where the whole product earns its keep. Walk me through the numbers.
An empty ALC nests down to about 25% of its assembled height, so a 220mm tall ALC collapses to roughly 55mm when empty. A straight-walled Eurobox, zero nesting. It's a rigid column. You stack them empty, and they occupy exactly the same volume as when they're full.
Which is absurd when you think about it. You're paying to ship air.
You're paying to ship air inside a rigid plastic frame that refuses to get out of its own way. 20 empty ALCs at 600x400x220mm collapse to about not 0.43 cubic meters. the equivalent stack of 20 Euroboxes with lids, about 4.9 cubic meters. That's more than a 10 times difference.
10 times the volume to store nothing. That's not a rounding error. That's the entire business case.
It really is. And it's why the ALC was designed for distribution loops. Go out full, come back empty, nest down, stack the nests, and suddenly your return freight costs drop by 90%.
So let's pin down the taxonomy before we go further, because Daniel mentioned the naming mess, and he's right. This industry can't agree on what to call anything. The ALC goes by at least six names.
Attached lid container, attached top container, distribution tote, hinged lid crate, crocodile lid box. Which I love, by the way. The lid opens like a crocodile mouth. And in the US, the Hudson box. Two of those are actively misleading. A distribution tote could be anything with handles. A hinged lid crate doesn't tell you the walls are tapered. Cross-shopping these things is hard because you don't always know which family you're looking at from the product name.
And the Eurobox side is just as bad. Eurocrate, Eurocontainer, Stacking Tote, Straight Wall Tote, Industrial Tote, KLC, Eurobelta, Back Gerbable. None of these names tell you the walls are straight and it doesn't nest.
The naming chaos matters. If you're a procurement manager trying to spec a returnable packaging system and you search for stackable plastic container, you get both families and the same results. You might buy ALCs thinking they'll stack neatly on your existing Eurobox shelves, and they won't.
Because the height grids don't match.
They don't. Both families share the 600 by 400 by 300 millimeter footprints, so they palletize on the same 1200 by 800 Euro pallet. Four boxes to a layer, three boxes to a layer, respectively. But the heights are different grids. The Eurobox has a dense height series, 18 heights at 600 by 400 alone, from 120 up to 465 millimeters. The ALC height grid is sparser, typically 120, 170, 220, 280, 330, 420. Some manufacturers vary.
And Daniel's dataset found a few interesting wrinkles there. The 600 by 400 ALC also comes in 250, 310, 367, and 400 millimeter heights depending on the range. At 400 by 300, you get 222, 264, and 306.
Right. The point is you can't mix them on the same shelf. If you've got a racking system set up for Eurobox heights and you drop an ALC in, the lid might not clear the shelf above, or the box might sit proud of the rail. Pick one system and commit.
So they share a pallet footprint, but the walls, the lids, the heights, the nesting, everything else diverges. That's not a variant. That's a different product.
It's a different product. To answer that, we need to look at the engineering that makes the ALC its own beast.
Let's go deeper on the taper then. What does it cost you structurally?
Good question. A straight-walled Eurobox transfers load vertically through the walls. The weight of the box above sits directly on the walls of the box below. That's efficient. You can stack Euroboxes high when they're loaded, often 6 to 8 high depending on the weight inside. The ALC's tapered walls mean the load transfers through the lid and the rim. The lid becomes structural. The box below is supporting the weight on its rim and lid, not on its walls.
So the ALC's stacking strength depends on the lid?
Entirely. A well-designed ALC lid has reinforcing ribs, interlocking features, and a rim design that distributes the load. But it's inherently a less direct load path than a straight wall. You typically see ALCs rated for stacking maybe 5 to 9 high when loaded, depending on the weight. A heavy-duty Eurobox of the same footprint might stack higher with the same load.
And the lid being integral means it's always there. You can't leave it off for quick access.
Which is why the Eurobox dominates static storage. In a warehouse, on garage shelving, in a workshop, you want to reach in constantly. The lid is optional. You can leave it off, stack the boxes, see the contents. With an ALC, you're opening and closing that crocodile mouth every single time. It's fine for distribution where the box gets sealed, shipped, received, and emptied. It's annoying if you're grabbing a screwdriver out of it six times a day.
The lid does give you something the Eurobox doesn't, though. Tamper evidence.
Yes. An ALC with a one-time snap closure or cable tie points becomes a sealed, tamper-evident unit. You know if someone's opened it in transit? A Eurobox with a separate snap-on lid. Someone can pop the lid, take something, snap it back, and you'd never know. For pharmaceutical distribution, high-value electronics, anything where chain of custody matters, the ALC is the better choice.
So the ALC is physically different. But the interesting question is, does that difference matter for your wallet?
Let's do the price per liter comparison properly, because this is where most people get it wrong. Daniel's calculator is built on usable capacity, not external volume. That's the only fair denominator.
Why does that matter?
Because a tapered box has less internal volume than a straight-walled box of the same external dimensions. The walls slope inward, so the base is smaller than the opening. If you compare price divided by external length times width times height, the ALC looks artificially good. You're dividing by a volume it doesn't actually hold. Usable capacity is what you can actually put inside.
So cheat one is using external volume. What's cheat two?
The Eurobox price doesn't include the lid. A typical Eurobox lid adds 15 to 25% to the cost. The ALC's price has the lid baked in. If you compare a $20 ALC to a $14 Eurobox, the Eurobox looks cheaper. Add a $4 lid and you're at $18. Now the gap is $2.
And the per liter numbers.
Daniel ran a worked example. 20 ALCs at 60 by 40 by 31 centimeters, roughly 150 shekels each, that's about 3,000 shekels total, for about 1,120 usable liters. Works out to 2.68 shekels per usable liter. 60 Euroboxes at 60 by 40 by 34, 153 shekels each, 9,180 shekels total for 3,800 liters, usable, that's 2.41 shekels per usable liter. The Eurobox buys volume about 10% more cheaply on a per liter basis.
So, on pure upfront cost per usable liter, the Eurobox wins. But that's only half the story.
It's not even half. It's the first act. The second act is what happens when the boxes come back empty. 20 ALCs nest down to not 0.43 cubic meters. 20 Euroboxes with lids occupy 4.9 cubic meters. If you're paying freight on the return leg, and at typical less-than-truckload rates of $8 to $12 per cubic meter, that's $3 to $5 for the ALC pallet versus $40 to $60 for the Eurobox pallet. The ALC pays for its slight per liter premium in one or two round trips.
And if you're doing that loop weekly, the ALC isn't just competitive, it's dominant.
Over a year of weekly round trips, the freight savings alone could be thousands of dollars per pallet position. The per liter purchase price difference becomes noise.
So the decision tree is really about whether your boxes have a return leg. One-way logistics, buy the ALC. Static storage, buy the Eurobox.
That's the clean rule. But Daniel's third question complicates it, the house move.
Right, because a house move is a weird hybrid. It's one way for the boxes from the rental company's perspective. They go out full, come back empty. But from the customer's perspective, it's a single use. You don't care about return logistics. You care about whether the thing holds your kitchen equipment and doesn't cost more than cardboard.
This is where the ALC rental model is clever. Companies like Fraudbox and similar services use ALC-style crates. For a typical three-bedroom move, you're looking at 30 to 40 crates. At $2 to $3 per crate per week rental, that's $60 to $120 for the move. Buying 40 cardboard boxes at $1.50 to $2 each plus tape, you're at $60 to $80, and then you throw them all away.
The rental breaks even after roughly 2 to 3 moves, and you never own a landfill's worth of cardboard.
The ALC crates are stackable when full, so the moving truck is tidy. They're nestable when empty, so the rental company can collect 40 of them in a stack that fits in a van. They're tamper-evident if you cable-tie them shut. Nobody's opening your kitchen box in the back of the truck. And they're rigid, so your plates don't get crushed when someone stacks a box of books on top.
The cardboard box has none of those properties. It's flimsy, it's single-use, it doesn't stack securely, and it dies in the rain.
Cardboard is the worst possible container that we've all agreed to use because it's cheap at the point of purchase. The ALC rental model exposes that. You're not buying a box, you're buying the function of a box for a week, and then it goes back into the fleet.
Has the house move use case earned the ALC a place in the home it didn't have before?
For moving, absolutely. For permanent home storage, I think the Eurobox still wins for most people. Garage shelving, basement storage, holiday decorations. You want straight walls for efficient shelf use. You want to leave the lid off for access. And you want the cheaper per liter price because you're buying once and the boxes never move again.
But if you're someone who moves frequently, renters in cities, military families, anyone who relocates every couple of years, owning ALCs might actually make sense. Buy them once, use them for every move, nest them in the closet between moves.
That's the edge case where the nesting advantage matters in a residential setting. A stack of 20 nested ALCs occupies the floor space of a small suitcase. 20 euro boxes empty would fill a whole closet. If you're in an apartment, that difference is real.
There's also a sustainability angle here that I think is going to push the ALC further into consumer spaces. Single-use cardboard is increasingly seen as waste. Municipalities are charging more for disposal. Some places are banning single-use packaging outright for certain applications. A reusable plastic crate that does 200 round trips before recycling is a different environmental calculus.
The ALC is better positioned for that than the Eurobox because it's already designed for return logistics. The Eurobox is designed to sit on a shelf for 20 years. The ALC is designed to move. If last mile delivery starts shifting toward reusable containers, and there are pilot programs for this in several European cities, the ALC is the natural form factor.
Let's talk about the data caveats Daniel flagged, because there are some interesting wrinkles in the capacity numbers.
This is important if anyone's actually speccing a system. ALC capacities are manufacturers' published nominal figures. You can't derive them geometrically from external dimensions because the wall taper isn't published and it varies down the range. One manufacturer's 60 by 40 by 310 might claim 56 liters. Another's heavy-duty version says 55. A crocodile lid version says 53. That's a 6% spread for the same nominal external size.
You can't just compare catalog numbers and assume you're getting the same box.
You can't. And there's one outlier in Daniel's dataset. The 600 by 400 by 400 millimeter ALC claims 80 liters, usable, which works out to about 83% space efficiency. The rest of the ALC range sits at 73 to 75%. Either that box has less taper, or 80 liters is a generous round number. I'd want to measure one before believing it.
The Eurobox side is cleaner because the capacities were computed from published internal dimensions, straight walls, simple geometry. The ALC side is messier because the taper is proprietary.
That's another reason to check the supplier's own internal dimensions before committing to a large order. The catalog number is a starting point, not a specification.
Before we wrap the practical side, we should mention, if you're in the UK and shopping either family, our friends at totebox.co.uk have a deep selection across both ALCs and Euroboxes. Sensible prices, reasonable delivery. Not a paid thing, just a supplier worth knowing about.
They're one of the few places where you can browse both families side by side and actually compare the specs without fighting through six different product names. And while we're on shoutouts, Deborah, Daniel's sister, is about to take delivery of her very first consignment of logistics boxes. Welcome to the system, Deborah. You've made an excellent decision and your garage will never be the same.
The first consignment is a gateway. Next thing you know, you're calculating usable liters and arguing about wall taper on a podcast.
She's one of us now.
We've got two different tools for two different jobs. Let's make that concrete.
Actionable takeaway number one. If you're doing one-way logistics, shipping out full and getting back empty, the ALC is almost certainly the right choice. The 10 times nesting advantage on return freight overwhelms every other consideration. The per-liter purchase premium evaporates in a few round trips.
Takeaway 2. If you're doing static storage, garage shelving, warehouse bins, open frequently, the Eurobox is usually better. Cheaper per liter, straight walls for efficient shelf use, and you can leave the lid off for access. The nesting advantage doesn't matter if the boxes never move.
Takeaway 3. For home moving, the ALC rental model is excellent. It replaces a disposable product with a reusable one, and the economics work if you move more than once. But if you're buying for a single move, cardboard is still cheaper at the point of purchase. The rental is the sweet spot.
Takeaway 4. Don't mix the two families on the same pallet or shelf. The different height grids and wall tapers mean they don't stack or nest together. Pick one system and stick with it. Mixing them creates a Tetris nightmare that will haunt your warehouse.
The height grid mismatch alone will drive you insane. You'll have Euro boxes at 170 and ALCs at 170, but the ALC's 170 includes the lid in the height and the Euro boxes doesn't, so your shelf spacing is wrong for one of them.
It's the kind of mistake you make exactly once, and then you spend a Saturday afternoon reconfiguring shelving while questioning every life choice that led you there.
I've done that Saturday. It builds character.
But there's a bigger question here about where this is all heading.
The open question for me is whether the ALC's home move use case will drive enough consumer demand to change the industrial pricing. Right now, ALCs are priced for commercial buyers who understand the return logistics math. If rental fleets scale and consumer awareness grows, the per-unit cost could drop enough to make ALCs competitive with Euroboxes even for static storage.
The sustainability angle could accelerate that. If corporate procurement policies or regulations start pushing against single-use cardboard for last-mile delivery, the ALC is the obvious reusable alternative. It's already designed for exactly that loop. Sealed, tamper-evident, nestable on return.
The Eurobox isn't going anywhere. It's too good at what it does. Cheap, durable, infinitely stackable static storage. But the ALC is the one that's going to grow into new applications. The house move is just the most visible one.
Two families, one footprint, completely different jobs. Pick the right one.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop.
This has been my Weird Prompts. If you've got a weird prompt about containers, logistics, or the hidden engineering in everyday objects, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.